This is Dr. Arliss Wood with Health and Happiness on KGVM, Gallatin Valley Radio 95.9. The objective is to present information on health that makes people happy, well-adjusted. It is sponsored in part by the Montana Psychological Association Public Education Committee. Today, I take great pleasure in being able to interview Dr. James Woodson, who has been an emergency room physician for many years, and then came upon an innovation that he developed, that he has pursued, and that he uses Bozeman, Montana as a base of operation at this point. He can explain it much in more detail and more honestly and straightforwardly here in a minute, but I want to interview him to let the public know more information about how health services are managed and the problems in it, and maybe some ways in which he has developed that will make it much easier for communication and for health to be given to the patient, which is the intention, and to do it as swiftly and accurately as possible. Dr. Woodson, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you've been doing and this idea that you've developed.
Well, fantastic. Well, thank you, Dr. Wood. So again, my name is James Woodson. I'm a board-certified emergency physician. Was trained out at Carolina's Medical Center now many years ago and worked in a Democratic emergency medicine group in East Texas, where we had a Shark Tank evening one night where we had an opportunity to think outside the box and talk about what we could do to improve healthcare at either a local, national, or global level. And so eventually, we came together around this idea that was presented at the Shark Tank evening, and one thing led to another, and we now have a company called Pulsera. So Pulsera is a regional communication network for healthcare providers. So to really sum it up, you have to kind of look at the healthcare system in the United States, where it's incredibly, incredibly fragmented. And yet the patient really doesn't care how fragmented the healthcare market is. They just want excellent care. And so one of the things that you have to kind of take a step back and look at is that patient journey, which can cross multiple different healthcare organizations over a period of time. And yet in the healthcare system, we're not used to being able to have our providers really sync up, especially when they work for different organizations. And so what healthcare, or what Pulsera is doing in the healthcare market, is figuring out a way to bring these people together. We started with time-sensitive emergencies like heart attack, stroke, sepsis, trauma, those type of things, because when a patient is having one of those events, you often start off with first responders who then hand off to EMS, people that work in the ambulance. Then they hand off to a hospital. If you're in a rural area, especially in a state like Montana, oftentimes the definitive treatment, the specialty care, isn't available at that hospital. And so they end up having to transfer you to another hospital, which often involves at least one more EMS agency in the middle there. And so if you look at how we're currently communicating in healthcare, especially for things like time-sensitive emergencies, that's just a great example. We're currently using radios, we use telephone calls, we often use middlemen like transfer centers, operators, unit clerks, and the true care team that's literally trying to surround the patient doesn't have a very good way of communicating with each other, especially in real time. So much of the focus has been on uniting people around data. And so they're so focused across the United States on the electronic medical records that they've kind of left the individual physicians and nurses and clinicians kind of out of the equation when it comes to really syncing them together and trying to create kind of a shared consciousness. And so to really understand what Pulsera is, we use mobile technology like smartphones that people carry in their pocket all day, every day. And then with a tap, they can create a dedicated patient channel. They can then continue to build their care team which what's really unique about Pulsera is they can add a new EMS agency or a new hospital within a, an organization. They can add teams like a heart attack team, a stroke team, a trauma team, and then they can communicate with each other. So it's a very robust platform that has live audio and live video communication capabilities, but it also can move multimedia communications like messaging or audio, video clips, things like photos, those type of things. And of course, we can move traditional data, things like from monitors for vital signs or ECGs, those type of things. So we're all able to do that in real time. We often don't know who the providers are when you're having a heart attack or a stroke, especially when you need to be transferred and it spans across multiple cities or counties. And the Pulsera network is a tool that is basically consumed by, just like it's an app on a phone, just like Uber or Lyft would be consumed by someone trying to get from one location to the other. So that's kind of an overview of what Pulsera is in a nutshell.
Taking an individual patient, maybe an example of some case that you had seen, how would Pulsera work in a real practical way when, let's say, I have a stroke?
Okay.
Oh, and suddenly a call is made to, I assume, emergency personnel. What kind of equipment do they have, and who manages it, and how does it work?
Perfect. I think it's most helpful to look at, and we can use a stroke case as an example. If you're looking at an old case first, the way that we manage communications, to contrast that with the way that a tool like Pulsera does. So in the old way, what happens is someone calls 911 through a phone. That goes to a call center who then listens to it and then tries to dispatch the appropriate resources. EMS will often show up, and then once they assess the patient, they have to decide where they go. There are several different types of strokes, not all of which can be cared for at all different types of facilities. And so they have to make a judgment call where to send that patient. Once they decide to transit and go that direction, they typically use a handheld radio or a phone. What they do is they call the patient report into someone like a charge nurse, who honestly never ends up taking care of the patient. What they do is they then turn around and holler at the unit clerk, who then pages the incoming stroke team. The stroke team, because call lists are often wrong, they actually have to call in to an operator to say that they got the page and check that off the list. If somebody isn't calling in, then the operator has to start doing alternative protocols to correctly identify who should be on call or try to get that person.
So lots of steps going on while this patient is, because it's time sensitive, the blood clot in the brain, or if it's, I guess, a heart issue in the heart, they're just tissue is going.
Yes.
Dying.
Yeah, the average for the large vessel strokes, the average is 2 million brain cells die every minute that you're having a stroke. So every minute can add ages of years onto your life. And as I just got, the patient hasn't even arrived to the hospital, and you could probably identify all the different places where this care team can break down. What Pulsera does, just from the stage that we brought the case to at this point, with Pulsera, what they do is they take out their mobile phone, their device, they can select the nearest appropriate facility, enter in just a couple of taps, and all of that information basically goes to the charge nurse, one tap, and they can add the entire care team. There's complete accountability and transparency with who's responding. If somebody recognizes the care team's not correctly assembled, one tap, and they can escalate it or bring another care team in. Have you ever watched or played that old school telephone game, like at camp, where you whisper something in someone's ear?
Well, it changes completely.
And it changes completely, yeah, by the end of the line. Well, that's the way that we do healthcare communications traditionally. That initial case that I was describing is just like one person whispering something to the next person, whispering something to the next person. And you can see traditionally how that always breaks down. So imagine that old telephone game that you used to play in junior high, high school, campfire game, where everybody, instead of listening just one version, they all turn and watch the original person deliver the message. Like, how much degradation happens to that story? Essentially none, because they all heard it. And that's the difference with Pulsera versus the difference of the traditional handoff that we chronically do over and over and over. Something like a stroke that needs to be transferred. Some of ours have to go to Billings or to Missoula, sometimes transferred as far as Seattle or Salt Lake from the state of Montana. And imagine all of those different handoffs versus everyone being able to hear that original message and add to it instead of having to start over every time. That's the difference of the Pulsera network versus the traditional communication that we do in healthcare.
What are other people doing that maybe is similar to Pulsera, but maybe, in your opinion, have missed the overall view, that they say, hey, this is good, we ought to do this, and this is really going to help the healthcare systems in this region, this area, or the whole country, but maybe they're missing out on something. Well,
now, that's a great question. One of the things that healthcare has really struggled, we often lag behind other industries. And one of the things that healthcare is really struggling with is we look at new technology and try to apply it into our old process instead of basically looking at new technology and seeing what else could we do with it. The key difference between something like Pulsera and competitors in the market, if you look at the way that healthcare currently does communications, we either solve our communication problems within our own silo, so we just worry about our own healthcare organization or EMS agency, or we bridge two silos. So like the ambulance to the hospital space, one hospital to another hospital space. And so that keeps us in silos and keeps everything fragmented. Amazon did something to the retail business many years ago where they looked at it and said, well, what if we could, with just a couple of taps, unite everyone together? All the buyers, all the sellers, all the financial institutions, the logistics companies, everything all together with just a couple of taps. That's the difference. And you look at the economies of scale that that offered and where that took over the retail industry and something like Sears collapsed. So we're currently doing healthcare communications with a Sears mindset, patching together all of these solutions, which end up very incomplete, versus someone like Amazon that looks at that transaction and says, well, why can't we build a platform around this and unite everyone on the same page? That's the difference between the way that everyone else has been trying to solve communication problems in healthcare and what Pulsera has done.
It sounds like that actually something that could work on a universal scale, provided different countries, different languages, different ideologies, different priorities, but starting with, let's say, English-speaking countries and the different types of health care offered, from anything from universal to insurance to none, how could Pulsera hypothetically be a system for a whole country?
That's a great question. So we... especially if you look at the value proposition of Pulsera, the main value is to the patients and then to the payers would be the next step down. Because of the fragmented healthcare system in the United States with everyone having their own budgets, it's actually harder to make the value proposition here than it is in countries that have a single payer mentality.
Like Australia, for example.
Australia would be a good example. Basically, we have a lot of countries that we've talked to. Currently, we're only live in the United States and Australia. But we have a lot of countries from the European Union, from the Middle East, from Canada, even quite a few in South America that have reached out to us, because the problems are the same when you start to look at how we solve the problem in a very fragmented way and just patching together pieces of the solution instead of having a universal solution.
So regardless of the language, it could be transported translated into any system? Or?
Absolutely, yeah. This is based on an AWS backbone, mm-hmm. Amazon Web Services mm-hmm. backbone. Used to, it would take a long time to do localization to basically bring the platform to another country. From a technology perspective, it's actually a relatively small project to bring it into another country. We've already done the kind of the product market fit. There's a universal problem that we can help solve. Technology-wise, it's easy to get there. It's more of when we have the business resources to be able to set up shop in other countries.
I guess as far as the way it's engineered, which I don't understand at all from those in the technological end, the program writing, that information is universal, I assume, that anybody who works with computers uses certain language and certain, so really that is universal. So the language would be secondary. I mean, it's there for the taking, but it sounds like those in control of the financing and those in control of the management of certain health networks probably don't get it, or do they? How many of them get it?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I can answer that easier on the domestic front.
Yeah.
The main thing that we often struggle with right now is people have to think differently. So anytime you offer a solution, even if it's superior, if you have to think differently, it makes it harder to evaluate it. There's a terminology that's often used, which is disruptive innovation. I used to think that was a really cool thing, and in some ways it really is. But it really adds to the sales cycle, because you have to educate the buyers, you have to educate society, what's the value proposition. They can't plug it into their to the way that they've always thought about it. From a budgetary standpoint, at Pulsera, we kind of have a nomenclature of it's the right click problem. And what we mean by that is you look at your budget and you have to, that's if it's on Excel, you have to right-click, add row, add a whole new column in your, or row in your column or in your spreadsheet to pay for a solution like Pulsera. The other key thing is if they already have a budget item isolated for it, we come in and we replace and cross multiple different departments, multiple different divisions. You have to figure out where it goes in a budget. So even if it truly fits value-based healthcare, and there was an interesting article that came out here recently that got like 50 healthcare specialists to define what value-based healthcare is, and they all disagreed on it. No one could figure out what value-based healthcare is. But the essence of it is in providing an increased quality of care at a decreased cost for populations. And so even though we can do that and we can prove it over and over and over, we have to teach them and educate them how and why. So this is one of the things I'm probably most proud about our company at Pulsera. Our vision statement is to be the accepted evidence-based standard of care. And the reason why that's so important is we have been generating evidence from day one that we can improve the quality of healthcare at a decreased cost, not just for hospitals and EMS agencies, but for populations. And we have scientific evidence-based research out there that proves that. And that takes time to generate. There's the other key thing on that innovation diffusion curve, that frustration that you were talking about, is it does take a little bit of time and patience. Initially, you have to go get innovators and early adopters. The really exciting thing about Pulsera now is we have taken the time to develop the research. We have taken the time to educate the market. And so now we're starting to really scale this business, which is providing immense benefit out there to patients, where we can really provide that value-based care, because now majority type hospitals and EMS agencies are really starting to adopt Pulsera. We're no longer an innovation, but we are becoming that standard of care to decrease treatment times, which are proven to improve patient care and improve long-term patient outcomes.
Since events like heart attacks and stroke are really time sensitive, There, I think you have mentioned before there was research to show that it's reduced it in time pretty substantially.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there is. You can even go online if you're interested in learning more about the research. We actually post it. You can go to pulsara.com, P-U-L-S-A-R-A.com, and go to our resource page. In essence, when you go on there, you can see all of the different studies published there, but we average about a third reduction in treatment times. And so if you're looking at the number of potential lives saved and the improved quality of life, people that actually used to survive, but they might end up in a nursing home, are now watching their kids or grandkids go play softball because of that reduced treatment time. So if you're looking at someone that used to get treated in 60 minutes, they may now be treated in 30 or 40 minutes, which has a huge impact on their outcome.
Something in one of your articles on Pacera.com about, I believe he's a cardiovascular surgeon, but he's also president of the American Heart Association. I read an article where he was talking about Pacera. Does that...
Yeah, we are a Get With The Guidelines compatible vendor with the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association. So there are accreditation bodies out there and people that work on systems of care. And we've actually partnered with the AHA because of what we do and what we deliver. If you're trying to look at a system of care, which is bigger than just an individual hospital or EMS agency, it's how they all work together. And fantastic companies like American Heart, American Stroke Association, that's what they are designed to do, which is help people figure out how to work together. And so we basically work with them, partner with them to help bring all that data in so systems of care can look and see how they're working together and identify ways to continually improve. And so there was an article out where we announced the partnership where they basically gave some quotes talking about how we can continue to work together as a society. It's one of those things that we're so fragmented, not just in healthcare, but society in general. Right now, it seems to be escalating that it's really refreshing to have and work for a company that's whole purpose is to bring people together.
That would be very refreshing in so many ways. I heard a phrase, I'm not sure who said it, a philosopher or someone else, that said, I like simplicity on the other side of complexity rather than on this side, which I believe oftentimes there are many people who look for quick solutions, something that may seem obvious but not well thought out and no research was done on it and no evidence to show that it really works. Therefore, decisions are made on this side of complexity. I know when you're dealing with the technology that you are in touch with, you have a lot of people working for you that are very complex thinkers and do a lot of complex work. What sort of people put this together?
Yeah, that's a great question. So another one of my favorite quotes that's kind of along those lines is, simplicity is the ultimate sophistication. That's another good.
It seems so. That's easy. Wait a minute.
Absolutely. Yeah. No. That's so. Simplicity is actually one of our core values at Pulsara. We take that very, very seriously. It is when you have a complex or a complicated problem, it's very alluring to potentially put together a complex solution, and that's what so many of us do. If you look at healthcare information technology in general, it is really complicated and complex, which means it's always going to struggle, in my opinion. You have to figure out ways to have a simple problem, a simple solution for a complex problem. So if you look at how Pulsara was created, it was created by healthcare professionals. We have had technology solutions shoved down our throats for years that are very complicated and complex. Electronic medical records are one of the premier examples of that. And what they did initially was they tried to apply digital mindset in solving it the same way we were with paper records. Instead of taking a step back, how can we truly simplify things? The other thing is incentives weren't appropriately aligned between payers, patients, providers, and insurers. And so you ended up with the ultimate complex solution for a complex problem. So at Pulsera, what we started with was what will actually help us? What will help us, healthcare providers? And so we basically brought a lot of healthcare providers and didn't do it with just blinders on from, we're only going to look at it from an EMS perspective or an emergency department perspective or a hospital perspective or a payer or a patient. We went through and we got all of the stakeholders together and worked through that. What is the most simple solution that we can solve this problem? It may not answer 100% of them, but if you can answer 90% of the problems with a very, very simple solution, how can we do that and get that in the hands of people? So we took that as our foundation. That's our cornerstone, is a simple solution to a complex problem that clinicians will actually use. And so it started with clinicians from all different walks of the care continuum. And then we brought together technologists in that order that are very devoted. It's fascinating watching our programmers, our engineers, really throughout our entire company through sales, implementation, support, engineers, the complete life cycle. They're all passionate about providing improved patient care. So we make sure and share the wins. Our wins aren't necessarily just new signed contracts, but it's really, these are our stories that our providers, our clients are sharing with us. Our purpose statement at Pulsera is to improve the lives of patients and caregivers through innovative communication. And I think it's really important that you do both. And so if that's kind of your rallying cry, where you get every single person that's touching this product and supporting the people that serve the patients, which is what Pulsera does, servant leadership is one of our other core values. If you build that end-to-end, build the entire organization to make sure that that's the focus of what we do every day, I think that really makes a big difference. So it starts with the clinicians. And then you really surround that with a powerful purpose and mission statement to make sure that we're helping and everything we do is to achieve those goals.
Who all is using this now? I know several states are.
Yeah, we're in about half the states in the union right now. And then, of course, Australia, we're there as well. We're starting to have entire states looking at purchasing and consuming Pulsera. So we actually give all pre-hospital communication away for free. So it's free to EMS and free to the hospitals. And that helps us unlock and start to unite large regions. And so we're really starting to grow. In fact, we have multiple other states that are getting ready to join in this Pulsera network.
Montana, are they looking at it?
So we have had great conversations with the state of Montana. So currently they are not an active user right now.
How did you decide to do this in Montana?
Oh, luck, pure luck. So one of my board members and really co-founders by the name of John DePasquale had a friend who lived here in Montana and worked for an amazing company here locally called Schedulisti. And so through that, I ended up meeting the CEO of Schedulisti. His name is Jerry Natuno, and basically convinced him to help me. So he's an amazing man. And basically, we were going to end up building this where we were from, which was down in Texas, either Austin or Dallas. And it's absolutely amazing the talent that exists here in this valley, here in the Gallatin Valley. And as we were discussing how to build this, we ended up meeting what ended up being the executive team of Pulsera just over a few weeks' time. And so from the time that we decided to fully commercialize Pulsera and take this to market so that we could serve really the entire country and the globe with this mentality, from the time we decided to commercialize it to the time we funded it, It hired the executive team, multiple developers, all here in Bozeman in the Gallatin Valley, was about 5.5 months. So it's been quite the journey.
From the very time you thought of this to now has been how long?
7 years.
7 years. Seems awfully quick, actually.
Especially in the healthcare vertical, that is incredibly quick.
So from in 7 years, you've gotten to this point, and from here, is to get more people using it. I assume patients can help knowing about this because they can ask about it. People have had medical care out there right now. How many employees do you have?
We are near 50 employees now.
And it varies to what you have to have, not only the computer engineers, but people to do all kinds of other parts of the system to work.
Right. So we have the headquarters is based here in Montana, in Bozeman, where we have basically the executive team and operations and development is based here. But I believe we have employees in 17 states. So we really focus on basically creating not just a platform that you roll out and hope people use, but we try to keep implementation and ongoing support close to the people that we serve. Change management is a key piece of what we do. So many people kind of turn we call it the 80-15-5 rule. And most tech companies, or often tech companies, do it the wrong direction, or people consuming it. They focus all on the technology and then just a little bit on the process and people. We have a philosophy that building technology successfully like this is 80% people, 15% process, and only 5% technology. Oh. And so we try to make sure our people are close to the people. So we're very spread out across the U.S. As small as we are, we're still very spread out. And today's technology will allow us to communicate internally in such a way that we're able to be a very distributed team.
Weren't you all listed as one of the top startup companies in Montana?
Yeah, it was quite an honor. So there was a list here a few months ago that was listing the top 10 tech companies or startup companies in Montana, and we were honored to be one of those.
And also other awards. I know there's two or three or more conventions in which you all have, or certain groups that have given you honor. Can you mention some of them?
Yeah, the most recent one, which the press release is just getting ready to go out, it's been officially announced, but the press release hasn't fully gone out from Pulsera, but we were honored to be the Healthcare Solution of the Year from the CODI Awards. The CODI Awards are kind of, if you go on Wikipedia, they actually describe it as the Academy Awards for developers. Hey. So that was quite the honor.
Absolutely great. I'd like to talk with you further about this. Hopefully we can have another time to talk on health and happiness. Anything else you'd like to add? This is fantastic what you've done.
Very much. Well, thank you. No, we appreciate the opportunity. We have our final slogan. I've been bombarding you with slogans, but our final slogan is it's about people. And so what drives us all day, every day, is to serve people. So it's been quite an honor.
Lives have been saved and health has been improved as a result. And you started it. Thank you for doing that.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Again, this is KGVM Health and Happiness. Thank you for listening. And hopefully you continue to tune in to 95.9 and even go on the web at kgvm.org to listen to this program and others, which are saved in the archives if you don't get to listen to it earlier. Thank you for your attention.